Hallelujah. Greetings from Malawi. God is so good and wonderful to us. From the time I've been here, God has been challenging us in different areas. And the people have spoiled us a lot. Of which we are thankful to God for that. And it's just a privilege for us to come and share with you what the Lord wants us to share this morning. Can we close our eyes and pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, we just want to give you glory and honor this wonderful morning. Thank you for the gift of life that we have. A free gift of life that we have. Lord, from the time that you were born, few minutes later, a number of lives lost. From the day we were born, Lord, a day later, some people died. A week passed, some people died. Some months, some people whom were born the same day with us passed. Years later, Lord, a lot of people passed away. But you kept us alive with a purpose, Lord. Even the past 2 years, God, during the time of COVID-19 and all other diseases and illnesses, a number of lives has gone. But we have kept us, Father, mighty God, up to this day. Lord, our King, we are thankful to that. We are thankful to that, Lord. And you have kept us with a reason. Lord, we pray, speak to us this morning. King Jesus, talk to us this morning. Holy Spirit, challenge us, speak to us this morning. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, that's what we miss here. Sometimes you just say hallelujah, 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 as if you are just downloading something. But that's how we do it. The message this morning is life on the crossroads. That's the title of the message this morning, Life on the Crossroads. So we're going to read from Mark chapter number 11, verse 1 through 9. Mark chapter number 11, verse 1 through 9. I'm just waiting for those who are getting their Bibles ready or their phones in the Bibles ready or their writing pads ready. Then we're going to read Mark chapter 11, verse 1 through 9. Can we have Mark chapter 1, verse 11, verse 1 to 9? Just the verses that we're going to read before we come to the three reasons which Jesus Christ, I believe, chose that God. And we can come up with a number of reasons, but this morning I want to share with you just three reasons why Jesus Christ, I thought, he chose this God. I'm reading from King James Version. Of course, we don't have King Charles Version. So the King James is just fine. King James is just fine. The triumphal entry into Jerusalem And when they came near to Jerusalem and to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sent forth two of his disciples and said unto them, go your way into the village over against you. And as soon as you be entered into it, you shall find a cord tied whereon never man sat. Loose him and bring him. And if any man say unto you, why do you this? Say you that the Lord has need of him. And straightway he will send him hither. Verse number 4. And they went their way and found the coat tied by the door without in a place where two ways met, and they loose him. And certain of them who stood there said unto them, what are you doing, loosing the coat? And they said unto them, even as Jesus had commanded, and they let them go. And they brought the coat to Jesus and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off the trees and strewed them in the way. And they who went before and they who followed cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Amen. As I was reading this chapter of Mark, I saw something that made Jesus to go and untie this coat. Jesus used to walk long distances from one village to the other, from one city to the other. But this time, he is going to Jerusalem, and he thought of using a coat. He could have chose to use any type of animal, but he chose to use this animal, the coat. And not only the coat, but a specific coat which was tied. Now, I just want to unpack three reasons that made Jesus Christ, I think, to untie, to use this coat. Remember, Jesus is going to Jerusalem, and he's using this coat, and he's sending his disciples. Some traditions say it was Peter and John, but he sent his disciples, and he is giving them instructions, and he's giving them the specific place where they're going to meet, they're going to find, they're going to see this particular coat. And Jesus is also able to describe the characteristics of this particular coat in which he would want to use. And he's sending his disciples. And he said, go ye into the street. You find a coat tied. He has never been used by any person. I just want to use that particular coat. But that coat is tied. Go and untie that coat. Now, the first reason that Jesus, I think, made him to go and use this coat is that the coat had limited distance. The coat had limited distance. So Jesus knew that this coat, he has limited distance. In other words, the court, Jesus, the court had limitations. He had limitations. He had boundaries. He couldn't go any further because he's died. And Jesus is knowing this. He might be in trouble because he's tied. And Jesus is saying, go and tie him. Why untying him? Because Jesus came to break limitations. He came to break limitations. Jesus came to break boundaries. Our lives might have been gone through different experiences from our backgrounds. That makes us to be tied to that type of stuff. But Jesus came to break those limitations. Jesus came to break those boundaries. I want to come back to this. The second reason which Jesus chose to use this court was that the court had limited security. The court had limited security. Because he was tied, he was vulnerable and prone to any danger. Anything that could hurt him, that comes, he was prone to that. Because he's tied, cannot run. And Jesus came and is telling his disciples, go and untie that cord. I just want to give him a maximum security. Jesus came to untie us to give us maximum security. He grants security. And in Christ Jesus, we are assured of the security of our lives. The reason number three is that the cord was cushioned. You see, when we read through the scripture, when the disciples untie this cord and they brought the cord unto Jesus and the cord was cushioned, Jesus climbed on the cord and he went with the cord into Jerusalem. And what is happening? People are bringing lots of things on this cord just because he carried Jesus. He carried Jesus. So in Christ, our lives has to be cushioned. In Christ Jesus, our lives has to be cushioned. In Christ, our lives are taken care of. I said, I want to come back to these three reasons which Jesus chose to use this cord. But let me come to this point, which is on verse number 4. The cord was tied outside the gate. And the Bible clearly says it was he was tied between where two roads met. It's when I took the word crossroads. The cord was on the crossroads. For the first time in our country, in Malawi, the past 2-3 years, we are privileged. We have the first interchange roads in our nation. And because some of the drivers are not used to that, they miss their way going around the crossroads. I mean, going around the interchange, not the crossroads, going around the interchange. One of these days, it is said, inside the capital city of Lilongwe. And one of these days, I was coming from Zaleka refugee camp, where we do some ministries with the people coming from different nations. That we have a camp, the refugee camp. Over 70,000 people from different countries are there. So sometimes I'm privileged to go and minister unto them. So as I was coming, the driver who took me said, okay, let's go via this way. So we went there, we dropped somebody, and he said, okay. I asked him, are you able to go through the interchange? He said, yes. I tell you, it took us 30, 40 minutes. We went this way. He said, no, it's not here. We come again. No, it's not here. We ended to find ourselves where we were. Then he said, I think I need to come time and again and be familiar with the interchange. Now, that's the interchange. But it's not the cord was tied. The cord was tied on the crossroads. At the interchange, you may think, I think if I can go this direction, you take that, you find yourself somewhere, or you reach your destination. But at the crossroads, you don't know which direction to take. At the crossroads, you don't know which direction to take. That's why Jesus, when he's sending his disciples, he did not just say, go and untie the cord. Because even if he is untied, but he's on the crossroads, he don't know which direction to take, which roads to take. He said, go untie that particular cord and bring it to him. I want to ride that cord. I just want to walk with that cord. I just want to show him the direction. I just want to show him where to take, where his life should go. So he untied that cord because the rider knew the direction. Jesus Christ knew the direction. Our lives, in one way or the other, we might find ourselves on a crossroads of decisions, not knowing what to do. Sometimes getting disappointed. We don't even know the answer. Sometimes have lots of questions without knowing what to do. The crossroads of life. Now, Jesus came just to meet us on the crossroads of our life. Because he knows where he can take us to. Jesus knows the direction of our lives. He is the rider of our lives. He wants to walk with us because he knows this world better than we know ourselves. He knows our tomorrow better than we know ourselves. He knows what comes next week, next month, next year. What's going to happen to our lives 2 years, 3 years ahead of our lives? He knows. That's why he wants to walk a road with us. Because he knows the direction of our lives. Hallelujah. Yeah, we like to say that in Malawi. As I said, Jesus knew where this court was. And he knows where we are with our lives. He knows where we're coming from. He knows where we are. And he knows where we are going. Jesus knows exactly what to do, how to do it. He knows where to go and what to do when we are there. We just need to trust him. We just need to give the whole attention of our lives. And if there are some stuff in our lives that untie us, that can make us not to understand the reason of this life, we just need to come to Jesus and say, Jesus, here I am. I just want to invite you into my life. and walk with me. Let me tell you, church, this world, it's the world that needs somebody who knows the direction where this world is going. If we read in newspapers, in social media, what is happening, almost all the nations of the world, problems are there, trouble are there, people are suffering from different angles. But Jesus, still, even though the problems are there, but Jesus knows where to take us. He knows the direction this world is going. We just need to invite him and say, Jesus, here I am. Set me free. Set me free, Jesus. And walk with me. Be in the front of my life. I don't want to walk alone in this world. I don't want. Now, when Jesus untied this cord, I've said he was the one who knew the direction to take this cord. I've said already when the time we have been here, we have learned a lot of things. And let me give you this example. A few days ago, Christoph took us to walk on a certain mountain, and he took with him his dog. And I think lots of you guys who have dogs. So he tied the dog, and he was going. Sometimes the dog could go further, but he could pull him, he could pull her. And there comes a type. Now, the dog wanted to go further, but because she was tied, she couldn't go further. Until the time when he untied the dog. When he broke the boundary of the dog. When he broke the limitation of the dog, and he let the dog to go. And she was free to go. She went to find herself a place to swim. But listen very carefully. Even though he untied the dog, he was able to control her where to go. Which direction to go? I could hear him time and again calling the dog, come here, we are going this. No, 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 not that. Here. You know, why? What I was learning is, even though the dog was untied, but she has to listen to the owner. I mean, she couldn't have been free because she was untied. The owner still have to be in control of her. That's how it should happen when we come to Jesus. When he untie us, it doesn't mean that we can go freely and do whatever we do. We should know we have the owner who is in control of us. I mean, sometimes in Christian lives, we mess up things just because I'm set free, I've been saved by Jesus Christ, I've been redeemed, then I can do this ever, whatever I can do. No, it's not like that. Allow him to take control of your life. Because he is the rider, he is the owner. Even though he set us free, but he still has control of our lives. Because some of the things that we desire is not in line with the will of God. And he cannot just allow that. He is, and he must be in control of our lives. So what I'm trying to communicate is, we are children of God. We are believers. When we accept Jesus in our lives as the Lord and personal Savior of our lives, it doesn't mean that we mess up with our lives, because He set us free. He has to be in control of our lives. When He say, "Don't do this," even though we want to do that, even though it's a right, we think it's a good thing to do, but if the Word of God, "Don't do this," we need to stop it and we need to listen, because He knows this life better than we know ourselves. When we come to Jesus, when we accept Him, when we invite Him in our lives, it doesn't mean we are free of any problem and troubles of this world. No. Problems and troubles are there. Sometimes we face difficult problems. We face difficult times. But still God is with us. He knows where He is taking us. In one of these days, David, through his experience being with God, he said this in Psalm 23, verse number 4. He said, and I quote, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." Did you hear that? "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." The word "though" is he is accepting the situation, the road in which God is taking him. And he said, I agree. I'm walking in the valley, through the valley of the shadow of death. But listen what he says. He said, "But I shall fear no evil." I shall fear no evil. Sometimes we need to accept the life that we are going through. Sometimes we need to accept what we are going through, just to allow Him to work through us. And David said, "I shall fear no evil." I would have asked him, "Why are you not fearing any evil?" And he went on saying, "Because God, you are with me. Because you are with me. Evil things are there. The valley of the shadow of death is there, but I'm not fearing. Because you are with me. You know where you are taking me." Jesus Christ, the rider who knows the direction of our lives, He went through this life of this earth. And it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy. And before His betrayal, He went to the Mount of Gethsemane to pray. And when He was there, He knelt down and prayed. Then God the Father opened His eyes. I'm talking about Jesus Christ. When God opened His eyes, He was able to see what He is gonna go through. He saw the difficult time ahead of His life, the cup of trouble. He saw troubles ahead of His life. He saw blood ahead of His life. He saw nails ahead of His life. He saw the cross ahead of His life. He saw betrayal. He saw rejection ahead of His life. And as he was seeing this, he wanted somebody's attention. He wanted somebody's attention. It's human. When you are going through something bad, difficult, you need somebody's attention. And Jesus wanted somebody's attention. As he knelt down, seeing all this ahead of his life, he called God the Father. In Mark chapter 14, verse 36, and he said, Abba, Father! That's how he began. Abba, Father! In other words, I want your attention in what I'm going through. Abba, Father! Do you see what I'm going to meet ahead of my life? And he said in his prayer, I know all things are possible with you, God. All things are possible with you, God. And he said, if possible, take away this cup of trouble from me. But not what I will, but what you will. The reason he prayed this way, because he was here to do his Father's will. So if it was his Father's will to go through those troubles, then let his will be done. If it was his Father's will for him to cry, let his Father's will be done. In this life, brothers and sisters, we are here on earth not on our own. We are here for God. Sometimes we need to be flexible, even though time looks to be tough, but let our Father's will be done. If God wants us to be in trouble, let his will be done. Yesterday we went somewhere with our brother Abby, and we're climbing the mountain. It was tough, and we're climbing and climbing and climbing, feeling hot. And we could breathe while we're climbing. You know, when you are climbing the mountain. Now listen, when we reach a bit further on the mountain, we turned down, we had a very good view, and there was a good breeze coming to us. And Abel was saying, you know, sometimes you need to go through something hard, something difficult, for you to be in a place whereby you can have a view, a good view of this life. But it needed the for us to be there. Sometimes as Christians, we don't want to go in through troubles. Then that's not the life in which Jesus came to offer. Because he himself, he went through trouble. And Paul said, have the same heart which was in Jesus Christ. When we know and we know and we know that he is the rider of our lives, even in difficult times, we just need to say, Jesus, I need your help in this situation. Remember, before he was ascended to heaven, after his resurrection, he said, I am with you unto the end of this age. I shall never forsaken you and neither abandon you. He is with us. No matter what, he is still with us. We just need to pray unto him and say, Lord Jesus, you are with me. You know what I'm going through. You feel what I'm going through. And you know the answer of all this is what I'm going through. So brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ came to untie us. He came to untie us. He came to break limitations. He came to break boundaries of this life. He came to give us maximum security. He knows where our lives is going. We just need to trust him and say, Lord Jesus, here I am. Just allow Jesus to meet you on the crossroads of your life. Where it is difficult to make a decision, just say, Jesus, here I am. Here I am. I don't know where to go. Here are 5-6 vacancies. I don't know where to apply. I'm going for further studies. Opportunities are there. I don't know which to study. Just say, Jesus, help me. He knows the direction of your life. He knows where he is taking us to. This life cannot give us any answer. But Jesus has the answer of our lives. And when we come to Jesus, let's accept him. Let's give him the whole control of our lives. Even in difficult times, let's allow his will to be done. Let's allow his will to be done. Let me read. One of these days, Jesus Christ, he was about to leave this earth. And he looked around to see what he has done this earth. And he came to the point of prayer. In John chapter 17. In verse 4. Jesus prayed in this way. He said, I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you gave me to do. He was talking to his father. He said, I have glorified you in this world. I have finished the work you gave me to do. When we allow Jesus to untie us, he gives us the reason of this life. He opens our eyes so that we can be able to see why are we here. What God wants us to finish in this earth. And he started by saying, I have glorified you. In other words, the lifestyle of Jesus Christ always was glorifying God. He wanted to do things so that in his life here on earth, God should be glorified. That's what's supposed to be done when we come to Jesus and we let him to ride and to walk with us. God the Father has to be glorified in our lives. We can ask ourselves, whatever I'm doing, am I glorifying God in my life? Am I glorifying God in my life? Right from my home, am I glorifying God? From the workplace, am I glorifying God? In the business, am I glorifying God? When I walk in the street, am I glorifying God? We are here to glorify God. Because when we turn back to Him after this life, He will ask us, did you glorify me with your life? But Jesus is saying, I have glorified your name. But at some point, He was rejected. He was rejected. And He's saying, even through that rejection, I was still able to glorify my Father. At some times, He cried. Even through that cry, He was able to glorify His Father. Even in our tears, let's glorify the Father. Even in our troubles, let's glorify the Father. One of these days, I was reading on the social media, somebody posted a certain story of an old woman. She was a believer, but she had nothing. And she went to a radio station asking for help. Thereafter, she gave her contacts. Now, a Satanist who was very rich called his driver, and he went to the shopping mall and bought a number of things. And he gave the driver, say, go and give this woman, because I saw her asking for help. But please, when you go there, assure her, tell her, let her know that I am a Satanist. When you give it to her, tell her that the Satan has given you this. And the driver went. And when he was there, the woman came out and she started receiving those plastic bags of the help from the Satanist. Surprisingly, she didn't even ask who has given her. And after the last parcel, the driver asked her, woman, are you not asking who has helped you? She said, I don't have time to ask. Because when my Father speaks, even the devil listens. I mean, this life, Jesus knows what we are going through. And when we pray, He listens. When we pray, He listens. He is almighty. He never fails. He wants to take us in this life. This God had a relationship with Jesus because He untied this donkey, this God. Now listen, when the God was entering into Jerusalem, the Bible says those people who went ahead of Him and those people who were following, they shouted and cried. In verse number 9, and they who went before and they who followed cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. The court should go in the presence. places he could not go if it were not Jesus on him. People need to recognize Jesus in our lifestyle. Because they saw a court. And if I come back, and men spread their garments, that's verse 8, and men spread their garments in the way, and the others cut down branches of the trees and destroyed them in the way. And the court was going on top of those garments. He was cushioned because of Jesus. The court was going on those branches of trees because he was cushioned by Jesus. But the words of the people cried and shouted to say, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We are here on earth to do things in the name of the Lord, to live our lives in the name of the Lord. We are here on this earth to reflect Jesus. When Jesus unties us, he wants us to reflect him and let him and only him and only him be glorified. If the donkey had no any relationship with Jesus, he could have not been gone anywhere. Remember, he was prone to danger until Jesus came and granted maximum security. On the crossroads, the court had nowhere to go, had nothing to do with whatever direction until the rider came. Until he met the rider who showed him the way. This is the way to go. And you know what? When we come to Jesus, he just not showing us the way, you go this way, but he walk with us. He walk with us. Whatever we meet in life, he walk with us. He is with us. I want to challenge you. God is with you. Jesus is with you. No matter what. He is with you. But if you have not accepted Jesus Christ in your life, today is the time. Just say, Jesus, here I am. I want to have a relationship with you. If you are on the crossroads of your life, you don't know what to do, you don't know where to go, just say, Jesus, here I am. I don't know what to do. I'm confused, vexed up, perplexed. Come and help me. Give me the direction of my life. Tell me what to do in this life. Shall we raise on our feet, please? You might have been here. Listen to this message. On the crossroads of your life, just invite Jesus. Just invite Jesus. He wants to meet you on the crossroads of your life. You might have been wondering. You are confused, perplexed, and vexed up because of what life, how life has treated you. I want to encourage you. That's this world. We are to meet such type of circumstances. But still, Jesus loves you, brother. Jesus loves you, sister. Just call unto him and say, Jesus, here I am. I don't know what to do. I want to walk the journey of this life with you. If you haven't accepted Jesus Christ in your life, and today you say, I want to accept him in my life. I want to give my life unto him. I want to give him the whole control of my life. Just raise up your hand. If you want Jesus, if you want to accept Jesus, and if you want Jesus to enter to walk with you, those who want to accept Jesus in their lives for the first time, just come in front and stand next to this table. We want to pray for you. A prayer of salvation. If you have never met Jesus, if you have never made a decision to accept him in your life, and you want to accept him in your life as Lord and personal Savior of your lives, just come in front and stand very close to this table. If you are on the crossroads of your life, you don't know what to do, you are confused, angry with something, angry with somebody, listen. Jesus is not angry with you. Just come to him. Why? Because he has invited us. In Matthew 11, verse 28, he says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus invites us with the heavy laden of this earth. He wants to set us free. He wants to give us the rest of our lives. If there are people in our midst, and I feel they are, on the crossroads of their lives, and they say, I want Jesus. To take control of my life. I don't want to walk alone. I don't want to make a decision alone. I want him to help me making bright decisions. If you are here this morning, just come in front and just stand here. We're going to pray for you. Jesus wants to meet you on the crossroads of your life. What problems are you going through? What decisions you are not yet to make? Thank you, sister. God bless you. I'm saying, if you are on the crossroads of your life. Sometimes you might be on the crossroads of your life, not because of this bad or this bad, but even because of some good things, but you don't want, you are unable to make a decision. You don't know what to do. You don't know where to go. You don't even know whom to ask. Come and ask Jesus this morning on the crossroads of our lives. On the crossroads of our lives. Jesus is the rider. He wants to lead us so that our lives should glorify God. Our business should glorify God. Our homes should glorify God. Our academic studies should glorify God. Who would like to glorify God in his or her lifestyle? Just come in front and we're going to pray for you. Can I ask Pastor Noel, Pastor Thomas, Pastor Christoph, and others, you can come and... When the... what was there, his eyes was not open to see where to go, what to do. Until he met Jesus, his eyes was open. I think this is the direction to go. His eyes was open. These are the people to meet. His eyes was open. These are the cushion in which my foot can put on. Can I have the worship song? Open the eyes of my heart, God. As we are praying with people. Open the eyes of my heart. Let us pray. Can we just raise up our hands? Father, in the name of Jesus, we glorify you this morning. Thank you that you have spoken unto us, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that you came to break limitations. Thank you, Jesus, that you came to break boundaries. And I pray in the name of Jesus, I declare and decree this morning in the name of Jesus that all the boundaries of our lives are over in the name of Jesus. All the limitations of our lives are over in the name of Jesus. I pray all the fears are over in the name of Jesus, because the Lord Jesus came and he granted us security in the name of Jesus. Lord, we glorify you this morning for each and every person. Thank you for the love that you have for each and every person, Lord. Thank you, Father, that you know what we are going through. You know where we are and you know where we are going. Lord Jesus, our King, I pray that you be with each and every one of us. Show us the way to go. Show us the way to take, Lord. Even when things are tough, being in a crossroads of our lives, whatever crossroads of our lives ahead of us, Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that you, Jesus, you meet us there and give us direction, Lord. Father, we bless you this morning. I pray for families, God, that you be with them, God, and you break limitations unto them, Lord. I pray for individuals, Father, mighty God. May your hand touch them and heal them in the name of Jesus. I pray for their desire, Lord, that they should desire to be in your presence, Father, mighty God, all the days of their lives. Lord, I pray for their businesses. I pray for their studies. I pray for whatever, Father, mighty God, they are planning to do. That, Lord, be with them and guide them and walk with them to your own glory. I pray that each and every life should glorify you, God. I pray for the decisions of their lives, that they make decisions according to your will, God. Let thy will be done in their lives. Let thy will be done in their families. Let thy will be done in whatever they do to glorify you, Lord. May you be glorified and be exalted, Lord. We give you glory. We give you honor. We give you all the worship in Jesus' name. Amen.